Hey listeners, this week we're sharing an episode that was exclusive to our Deep Dive podcast. Enjoy!
Welcome to the Pilot Podcast Deep Dive,
where we take a deep dive into the pilot episodes of a TV show and answer your question, should I watch this?
My name is Me Too.
And my name is BJ.
And this week we're watching HBO's Succession.
So stay tuned to find out if Me Too's gonna start a global media empire and then give it to me.
Oh, we'll see. And thank you so much to the several listeners who recommended this show. This is a favorite of mine that I've been trying to get BJ to watch. So I really appreciated this opportunity to use the podcast to do that.
And as of this recording, HBO is providing seasons 1 and 2 for free to stream.
Nice. In this first episode, Logan Roy, played by Brian Cox, is celebrating his 80th birthday, and his family wants to know who will be the successor to the throne of his Fox News lookalike company, Waystar Royco. They run media organizations and outlets and also theme parks, which will come up a lot. Most eager and maybe the saddest of his kids is Kendall, played by Jeremy Strong. Then there's the fun one who tries to pretend he's above it all, Roman, played by Kieran Culkin. The sister who left for politics and tries to act like she's not aligned with the values of Waystar Royco, Siobhan, played by Sarah Snook. And her boyfriend, Tom, played by Matthew McFadden, is actually part of the company as well. And then the last sibling is Connor. I hate him the most. He's played by Alan Ruck. Rounding out this first episode is cousin Greg, played by Nicholas Braun, who sort of shoehorns his way into the family from the theme parks, and Logan's wife, Marsha, played by Hayam Abbas.
So Me Too, how did you discover this show?
Succession was recommended to me by a friend, and I didn't understand how my friend could know my personality as someone who likes comedies and likes light content. I didn't know how they could recommend something like Succession. To be honest, the first couple episodes lean heavy on the explaining functionalities of the business side and the literal concept of succession when it comes to a huge organization like Waystar Royco. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with it from episode one because there's those little nuggets of ridiculousness in this first episode that they give you that you hold on to and you know will become bigger once they explain how companies work to you.
That's a good point. There is quite a bit of talk about negotiating deals and mergers and buyouts and voting power and contracts, but deeply intertwined with all of that is just straight up family drama.
If you like La Casa de las Flores on Netflix or other juicy family dramas, you will like this one. In this first episode, what we see is Kendall trying to lead an acquisition of Valter, which is a new media company led by Lawrence Yee, played by Rob Yang. And he is unsuccessful initially in his attempt at buying it out. Lawrence doesn't want them to overtake his company, take the identity away from it. And because Waystar Royco has such a perspective, it is essentially like a Fox News. So there's a really heavy baggage there, perspective wise. So he is wary of that and the implications that would hold on Valter. And so we see a lot of the negotiations there, and we see a pretty sad look at how these finance bros might allegedly chat with each other. I don't think it was very far off.
I agree. You definitely get that bro mentality of these are hotshot business guys who can not only talk to each other in such casual language, but joke with each other in such abusive language, but while talking about very serious high stakes deals with lawyers present.
There's high stakes, there's jobs on the line, there's implications for how people receive information and media, so the public generally. And they are so wealthy and detached from all of that they are comfortably riffing off each other instead of just getting down to brass tacks.
They got to have some fun with it because to them, it's just $120 million. It kind of sucks to pay that much, but whatever.
It's all a game. I think the relationships between the siblings are very game-like as well. It feels like Logan raised all of his kids to be competitive with each other. It doesn't feel like a home where the siblings can come home and rely on each other for support or love.
Right.
You have to always be a little bit suspicious of the people around you, including your family, because you're all competing. And Logan, I think, orchestrated it that way.
They have that broken family dynamic, and you see how the wealth in the games come into play literally when, for Logan's birthday, he flies his family out by helicopter to play softball against each other.
And there's a really devastating scene where they try to play with one of the groundskeeper's kids as well. This family is ruthless.
They see themselves on a completely different level, which they are financially, but they're still people.
I think there's a level of detachment that you reach when you are that wealthy. And so I don't know if they recognize the depths of how messed up they are.
Mm-hmm. You know a little bit more than was shown in this pilot, but it seems like none of them really have any solid relationship. It's just, we are related, we're all connected to our dad, period.
As the series develops, as you can imagine, there's a push-pull between the siblings. They each, in their own ways, wants to break away from their father to come out from under his thumb. But it's hard because they've been groomed their whole lives, one, to be very accustomed to the lifestyle that being in his good graces gives them, but then two, raised to be competitive with each other and to vie for his attention. There are moments as the season progresses, this season and season two, where they will come together and get close and start to trust each other, but then something happens and then they betray each other and then they go back to being separated, and it just ebbs and flows like that because of Logan's power that he holds over all of them.
You see lots of hints of that in this first episode where alliances are going to be formed and then broken over and over by the same pairings of siblings, all because of actions by Logan related to this company and everyone's career. And like you said, everyone has their own motives, so they're going to use each other in a very selfish way. The love can't be felt between these siblings.
No. How did you feel about Marcia?
I am picking up on hints that she knows a lot more than she has said in this first episode, and she wasn't highlighted too much. She was in the background, but she does come up in terms of Logan's will, and I think she's planning something big. I think she is going to be an enemy against the siblings, and not just because Logan might pit her like that, but I think she also doesn't care about these kids. That's my perspective from the pilot.
What other predictions do you have?
I don't know that so much if this is a prediction, but I would like Kendall to start his own company instead of trying to take over his father's position.
Did you have a favorite sibling, if it's possible to have a favorite sibling?
That is definitely a difficult question. So I like Roman because I like Kieran Culkin. So I don't think I actually like the character of Roman, just the actor portraying him. And that by default makes him my favorite.
Do you like him from Scott Pilgrim?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Do you have a favorite sibling?
It fluctuates for me because I think they're all pretty awful. It's never Connor. I hate Connor. But Alan Ruck does a very good job of playing Connor. I think like is a strong word. I think I feel sorry for them in differing degrees, depending on how they behave. So Logan, you saw in this first episode, will dangle the opportunity to be the top person at the company in front of them. I often will feel sorry for the sibling in the episode or episodes, if it's an arc, that he dangles that opportunity in front of, because they all declare this in the first episode that they want to be independent in their own ways. And yet you see them go back on it in a slightly embarrassing way for each of them in many ways, as he dangles his opportunity and takes it away. And so you see them submit to him and then see that it was all for naught. And you just see that dance over and over again. And so it's tough. I would say in the second season, based on clothing alone, Siobhan, played by Sarah Snook, develops this uniform of turtlenecks tucked into wide leg trousers. And that is a look that I adopted into my own life. She made it look so good. Back when we used to be able to go outside, I became a turtleneck person. Beach, I think you can attest to that.
I've seen them. I did not know that Shiv was your inspiration.
Every week that I watched Succession, I would just buy another turtleneck.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So now I have four. It happened about halfway through the season. I don't want our listeners to think there is some sort of wealth happening here. No.
But if you'd like to sponsor us, please let us know.
Turtlenecks are us. Please come on over. We're ready.
So a character you had hinted at to me before we even watched is someone to watch, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around, was Greg. So this is the cousin of the family. Based on the family tree, he's actually the grandson of Logan's brother.
What I love in this first episode, which I forgot about, is they tease that there is a rift between Logan and his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Greg says that his grandpa said happy birthday, and Logan sees through that because he knows that they're not speaking. And so he asks Greg to have his grandpa call him directly, and he won't. One, seeing that through Greg was interesting. And then two, Greg the Egg is such a ridiculous and awkward character. But you see in the first episode that he is willing to do whatever it takes to get into the company. So he was initially a mascot at a theme park and lost his job because he vomited while wearing the costume.
Be warned.
It was very gross. He shows up to Logan Roy's home for his 80th birthday, which is a big move to just run up on somebody in their home for an intimate party of 10 people.
As told by his mother to do so.
But to follow through on it is a big deal. And then he forces himself into the car with Logan to shuttle over to the birthday party, which most people would have just waited or taken a different cab. And then he makes this very clumsy attempt at leverage where he essentially tries to offer his own grandfather's legacy shares of the company to Logan in exchange for a position higher up in Parks.
It's amazing how few boundaries he sees, if any, because he doesn't read the room. He doesn't pick up on cues. He needs a door literally slammed in his face to stop him from continuing the conversation.
So you read that as, oh, this guy is like silly and misguided, but it also takes a very bold person to do these things. And his willingness to do these things is a clue that even though he remains this ridiculous Greg the Egg, there's an edge there.
So he's someone that we need to keep an eye on.
Greg's one to watch. And you see this teased in the first episode as well, is the relationship between Tom, Siobhan's boyfriend, and Greg. It is a delight because they're both sort of outsiders. So they are trying to claw their way in and they have to work together to claw their way into the inner circle of the family. But there's also that crabs in a barrel feeling where we both can't make it. So we may have to compete against each other.
Oh, like there's only room for one outsider.
But they also need each other because I can't imagine trying to get in with this family and not having any sort of ally.
At least Greg has the familial connection working for him.
True. The shared DNA. Though, we see how Logan treats people who have shared DNA with him.
That's true. That could hurt him.
In this episode, we see him sell Frank out, who is a higher-up advisor at Waystar Royco. And Frank, played by Peter Friedman, is devastated by the betrayal, not just because of how much work he's done for the company, but also just how long he had been with Logan. I don't think any of these relationships mean that much to Logan.
Logan is very ruthless and doesn't feel bad cutting ties with people who have been loyal to him.
It's a very black comedy, so it's rough to watch.
Does it get darker or just more of this same cutting off people or knocking them down?
Sometimes it's funny, like hijinks funny.
Okay.
But then it'll get dark again. I don't think much darker than this, but there are, of course, dramatic elements to the show. But the comedy, I don't think, gets much blacker.
This episode had a good balance between some humor from awkward conversations and people not knowing the full story on both sides of a conversation, as well as that ruthless business-like drama where it's all about succeeding at any expense.
And also shout out to the writing on the show. Although this first episode was a little bit slow, it was also just doing the huge work of explaining. And then once we're past that and we understand the context, it's so much more fun. And then a huge shout out to every single actor on the show. They're all so good. I buy each of these people and the folks that they're trying to convey, especially Logan.
And one thing you were saying, as someone who is a fan and has seen seasons 1 and 2, you say there was a slow start for some people. I know people who are hooked from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You would say this might be a show where you need to give it more than a pilot if you see that potential?
I would say you need a couple episodes. And then once you understand what's going on, it's fun to get into. But I enjoyed it from the first episode. It was just a little bit slow for me, but it gets considerably more fun as you get into the first season. And then the second season is breakneck speed.
Ooh, okay. So you're excited for the third season. And I guess that'll go right into your rating.
Of course. I am team would watch again. Seriously, couldn't recommend this show enough to anyone. If you like dramas, if you like finance stories, if you like comedies, if you like juicy shows, this covers the bases for everyone.
I'm going to say I am in a position where I'll give it one more episode. I see why it can hook people, but it did feel a little slow. This is a 1-hour show, and I think I need to see where the plot is going a little bit more. So I'll give it another episode before I can truly decide if I'm going to commit.
Okay, that's fair. I'm sure you will decide to commit.
We'll see.
All right. Well, thank you, dear listeners, for committing to the Pilot Podcast Deep Dive. And you can find us on all podcasting platforms and at thepilotpodcast.com.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Pilot Pod. And if you ever have any thoughts, feelings, suggestions, comments, or other show suggestions, email us at askthepilotpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.